Like my granny says, don't use a shotgun when a fly swatter will do.
Yes, you heard right. That is Miss Sonia Briggs with hands down one of the best accents I've ever heard in my entire life. This episode is extremely special to me. So special that I decided to, you know, do a little pitch at the beginning and here to do my best to convince you guys to listen to the entire episode. This episode, for me, speaks to what I want this podcast to be, to represent, to grow into. Sonia and Nikki, they sound very different than me. They come from a very different background. But guess what? Movement unites us all. Their story is one that I'm certain you will be able to relate to. I'm pretty sure it's going to inspire you. And I'm hopeful that it will open your eyes to the fact that even though we may sound different, we may look different, there is so much common ground. There is so much that we can learn from each other. The pursuit of happiness is universal. The desire and the drive for more. That's something that I think is innate to our species, not to a geographical region, not to a race, anything like that, to our entire species. This brings us together. And honestly, I feel that this episode reflects all of this and so much more. So, folks, give it a listen in its entirety. And while you're at it, enjoy those accents. Without further ado, Maestro on the mic.
This is Maestro on the mic.
A podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it poppin'.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, Maestro here coming at you live with another episode of Maestro on the Mic. And actually, by live, I mean we're coming at you live from my hotel room post Rock Tape Blades Advanced course. Today I got with me
Sonia Briggs
and
Nikki Orzane.
So I actually had them say their own names because I want you guys to hear how amazing their accents are. You're gonna hear it throughout the entire episode, but I was like, you guys have to speak from the jump. The accents, they steal my heart. So Sonia and Nikki are therapists in the Cookeville area and physical therapists in the Cookeville area. And I met them, I don't know, a year and a half ago, something like that, 2 years ago, at a Rock Tape course. I taught them FMT Basic. They came back this weekend for FMT Blades and FMT Blades Advanced. And they're doing some just incredible things. And life changes have been incredible. And I wanted to bring them on so that you could hear their story. I'm sure you can relate to it. It's different than my story, and that's the whole goal of this podcast, is to expose you guys to as many different stories and as many different pathways as possible, and hopefully allow you to find some common thread, some inspiration, some motivation, and a realization that, hey, I can do that too. So, Sonia, Nikki, whoever wants to talk first, why don't you guys tell me a little bit about yourself as therapists?
I've practiced as a physical therapist for 21 years, and started off very much the traditional therapist, you know, fresh out of school. Everything they teach you in school, that was kind of my mindset. And I was just trying to continue to learn and grow and build on that. And I was frustrated at first because things that I learned in school, you know, weren't always real life, what I was seeing in front of me. And so I started digging in and wanting to learn more and look at things more. And eventually that road led me to Rock Tape courses and meeting Shante, and in that process, just in speaking with her and hearing the course and the presentation, put me onto all these other just gems of knowledge out there and continue to learn. And it's one of the reasons why we are where we are today.
Side note, she said gems, not gyms. I'll act as the translator.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can't translate. It's the same.
Nikki, how about you? I love this.
I have been a PT for 10 years. I, too, like Sonia, came out of school, was excited about being a PT, luckily got a really good first job, and that's where I've been this entire time. But I can say within like probably the past 5 years up until now, I was almost bored in a sense. I guess in the back of my mind, I kept thinking that there's got to be more than just treating a shoulder, treating a knee, treating a hip, and I was also frustrated with some of the techniques that I would learn in school that just my patients never seemed to get better. They got better, but they weren't fixed, as they would say. Mm-hmm. So it became very frustrating, and then we ended up at a rock tape course, and it has been a roller coaster ride since then.
The best kind.
Yeah, much more exciting.
The best kind. You know, I hear this, I talk to people, and I've lived that we have that shared experience of that boredom and that frustration with what you're seeing, with the profession, with insurance. Like, you guys listening out there, this is why I do this podcast and bring these people on, so that you realize it's not unique to you. And I say that in the best way, like, you are, yes, you are a special flower, absolutely. But this experience, this frustration is not unique to your situation. There's people across the country, big towns, little towns, that are wanting more and realizing that they can build more, they can make more. And speaking of making more, I said earlier that they are therapists in the Cookeville area. If that name is familiar to some of you, that's because that's where CrossFit Mayhem is, and that's a pretty big name box. And these ladies have a pretty interesting story or experience with that. You guys wanted to share that with us?
I work out at CrossFit Mayhem, and also we are the therapist for not only just the what do you call them?
Athletes.
Members. The members, yeah. The members that come there. But we're also the therapist for the CrossFit Mayhem teams, as well as the other individual athletes. And that alone has been very interesting in itself. We've learned a lot from that.
Just to put this in context, too. Actually, two questions. One, did you ever see yourself, and you can, let's go back 5 years, let's go back a year, year and a half. Did you see yourself in this position that you're at today, treating the athletes and the members and, you know, the team members of the folks of Mayhem?
I couldn't, a year and a half, 2 years ago, I couldn't necessarily see where I would end up, but all I could see was that I needed to find a different path than the one that I was on every day. And so I guess that's the most honest answer I can give that question.
And that's the answer I was hoping you'd give. I think that people really try, they want to have everything planned out. They want to be able to see 15 steps ahead of them. And the reality for a lot of the time is that you can't and you won't. And one of my favorite quotes, I say it in almost every episode, I feel like, I write it all the time, is go as far as you can see, and when you get there, you'll see farther. I had no idea that I would be sitting in a hotel room doing a podcast with two awesome individuals from Tennessee. I would have never guessed that. Their accents are so awesome, though, right? I would have never guessed that in a million years. But this, you know, one thing, social media led me to rock tape, which led me to traveling, which led me to teaching, which led me to where I'm at right now. And we can see this. And I encourage you, yeah, have a rough plan or have a rough idea. Understand, you know, look at things that you want to do or you don't want to do. But understand that things can change in an instant and for the good. I think people worry about things changing for the bad. No, it all falls apart. Like, things can change for the amazing in a second. So, Nikki, I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. So they work at, they treat at Mayhem, but you guys are kind of like a version, if you will, of Superman. This, like, the Clark Kent thing going on, where it's like, by day, we are this, and by night, we are this. So I don't know if that's the best superhero, but I don't really look at superheroes, but all I'm imagining in my head is I got the two, but maybe it's more like Batman.
Superman's awesome. Go
Superman.
With Superman.
Okay, good. So we're going with Superman, where we have this day job, we do this, and then by night, we do this. So can you talk to me about that?
Well, it makes for an interesting day. During the day, we actually treat at a skilled nursing facility with inpatients of the geriatric population for the majority that come to the building in hopes to return home after different surgeries, medical complications, what have you. And then we clock out there and we go to CrossFit Mayhem. And we treat the members there, athletes, and we also run a cash-based clinic out of Mayhem.
I love it. How many balls is juggling there? Like, this is incredible. And one, there's a few things that we can take from this. One, PTs can do a whole lot. If your goal, if your drive, your desire is to work with a specific population and that's it, cool, you can do that. If you want to diversify that portfolio, hey, guess what? You can totally do that. And if you want to start realizing that you can mix and match the populations and that the treatments you do for this, the concepts from the treatments that you do for this demographic can absolutely be utilized and modified in some regard for this other population, you can do that. We were actually speaking about this beforehand and kind of like going back and forth between the two populations. I think it's fascinating. That's not my population. I've never really worked with that specifically geriatric population. And so when I go and talk about things from courses and such things like that, I think that I worry that people may feel that I can't really relate to it. So it was important for me to bring these two on because they've actually seen both sides of that coin, both sides of that spectrum in the same day, which is pretty, pretty awesome. So Anya, can you tell me about, and I don't want this to seem at all like a plug for a Rock Tape course, right? I got a question before we started doing this podcast today from someone on social media that basically said, I'm interested in taking an iSTIM course, right, an instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization course. I see that you teach them. Is there more to it than just the fact that it will save my hands, right? Sonia or Nikki, either one of you, can you speak to that? Just whether it's from the course or what you've done, have you brought it into clinic? Just anything about that.
We had a similar question today. We'd made a post about Rock Tape and how much we enjoyed it. And a newer therapist asked us a question through social media saying, hey, is this appropriate for the geriatric population, or insert name of whatever population you might want to talk about? And the answer is an emphatic yes. The reason being the concepts that we are taught, and that's what I like. It's not these, you know, do A, B, C, D. It's concepts, and it's very much applicable to a human being across the board, regardless of what stage of life they may be in. And that was what I told this newer therapist is, yes, learn the concepts, learn these, you know, philosophies or principles, and then, you know, roll it around in your brain and find a way to make application to the particular individual that you have sitting in front of you at that moment, whether they are a CrossFit athlete, whether they are an older individual, you know, it works.
Our whole goal with this and all of our courses is to give you concepts, not specific techniques, not a protocol, right? When you know a technique, where you learn a technique, you know a technique. When you learn a concept, you know 1,000 techniques. And that's really the model, the mantra behind all of the things that we teach at Rock Tape. And so, yeah, we will teach you how to use a tool and save your hands, but we're going to give you concepts to navigate the body. The goal is to give you concepts to kind of start seeing outside of the box. The goal is to give you concepts to start realizing that you're treating a human, not just tissues. So I want to kind of go into this a little bit more in terms of making it appropriate for your population and kind of what you see specifically, because Sonia and Nikki have done something incredible and created something incredible for their population. And it's called the goni. It's a nice little play on words there. For those of you in the rehab setting, you know what a goniometer is. This is spelled G-O-K-N-E-E, as in go, and then your body part, knee. And it's a device that can absolutely completely change how we rehab, in their case, more specifically, total knee patients, but basically any patient that has a knee and we're looking to work on range of motion. So you guys want to speak to that?
So the goni device, we created it and patented it. The reason being, we had a patient present in clinic probably 3 years ago, and this gentleman was struggling to regain range of motion. And I was doing joint MOBs, and I was trying to do some of these other things to basically communicate with the joint and get what I wanted out of it, and he just was not responding. He was stuck in 80 degrees of knee flexion. He was lacking probably 10 degrees of knee extension. And every time we tried to do anything where I would put my hands on him, he just did not respond well. And I was banging my head against the wall, like, why is this happening? And so he had like almost a very hard infill even. Went to his orthopedic surgeon's visit with him, kind of with my tail tucked between my legs. And I told the surgeon, I'm like, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years and I've never encountered this before where regardless of everything that I've tried, everything in my toolbox, I'm not getting the results. And the surgeon admitted at that time, he said, well, you know, the guy was in between implant sizes and I went with the larger implant. He said, I knew it would be a much tighter knee, but if you can get it moving for him, he'll have a great knee for the rest of his life. And then he said, and if you can't get it moving for him, we'll just go back in about a month and I'll put in the smaller implant. And the patient kind of looked at me and said a few expletives and curse words, and he was like, you know, you're going to get this knee moving. I'm like, okay. So went home that night and bounced some ideas off of Nikki and thinking about it, you know, what can we give this guy? I looked online, are there any tools out there that I can give this gentleman beyond, you know, the traditional, here's this exercise or here's this exercise, you know, do this. Searched the internet, couldn't find anything. So we came up with this device, we made it, and we used it with the gentleman and, of course, you know, had him agree to not disclose any of the things that we were doing. And he used it, he took it home, he used it as instructed, and the guy got all of his range of motion back, and it happened pretty quickly, like within about 10 days after using this and it becoming part of his home exercise program, got his motion back, moving well, you know, and he was extremely pleased with his results, and now we see it over and over.
For those of you listening, if you're listening to this, that means you probably have followed me on social media or something like that. I like to think that those of you that follow me on social media, you know me, because I put my real self out on that. And you know, if you know me, that I wouldn't blow smoke. I don't do stuff to just, I don't get paid to do promotions or anything like that. I don't sell products. I don't put anything on my social media. I don't talk about anything that I don't believe in. And what she's saying may sound too good to be true, but it's happening in real time. She's not lying. She's seen this, and again, like she just said, time and time again. And so I came back out here to Nashville. I come out here pretty often. I love it. Love me some country music. You guys know that. And we've sat and had dinner, and to hear these results that almost sound too good to be true, it's mind-blowing to me, and it's so exciting to me. And I think that one of the coolest things about it is that the device is not this hugely complicated machinery that you gotta go and put it on this thing and pull it from that end and you gotta calibrate this thing. And I love it also because when it's delivered, when the product description is delivered by either one of them, it comes with this amazing accent and you're like, what in the world? Is this this really works like this? And it does, because number one, things don't have to be hugely complex to work. You know what was really complex? The thought process behind this. You know, they sat down, Sonia sat down and said, what does this person need? How can I communicate with this nervous system? How can I make this nervous system feel safe so that it grants me more mobility? Mm-hmm. It grants me more movement. It wasn't sitting down, how can I make this complex device that I can push in this person's knee and kind of divorcing herself from the actual human. She sat down and really tackled a complex problem, which was pain. Right, that's a big component to things, and came up with this awesome solution that may from the outside look quite simple, but the thought process that went behind it is what was the complex thing. And I always say that a lot of times the intervention can be very simple, right? How to use a tool, how to use tape is very simple. It's the thought behind it, the why you're using it in the first place, that is complex, right? So if any of you guys see the product, I'm gonna link a link it in the show notes and things like that, because I want you guys to check it out. If you work with people that have knees, you should be looking at this product. You should be having this product, you know, with you. My knees don't bend so great. I thought about using it myself. I'm not going to lie. I got a little bit of a tin man knees. Like, I can't lie about that. Right? But I'll link to the show notes. And for those of you that look at the product and you say, oh, no, it's so simple. It can't be. All right, stop looking for hugely complex answers. Right, the complexity, the difficult stuff is the work that goes into it. Why am I using this thing in the first place? Right?
Yeah. Like my granny says, don't use a shotgun when a fly swatter will do.
There
so
you go.
Just, you know.
I'm dead right now.
Yeah.
I'm in the South.
Keep it simple.
And I am dead right now. Can you guys talk to me a little bit about the protocol that goes behind this or goes with this?
The protocol was developed with... It actually, when we started that first rock tape course, all the courses we have taken since then and everything we've read, you know, different ideas from different therapists, different clinicians, even different, you know, not physical therapists, from chiropractors, from
just
all across the
theories.
Board. Yes, yeah. Movement theories. They went into making the protocol for the GONI. You know, it's just kind of like you guys say with rock tape, even if you don't know what to do when in doubt, just put some tape on it. Yeah, it's still going to work.
It's like,
you're still going to communicate with the nervous system. So, yeah, you can get the GONI and move it around a little. You're still going to get a little improvement. However, if you use the protocol that has these movement theories behind it, like the functional range conditioning, just making you control your in range of available movement is key. And that's where you get the carryover from the nervous system.
And one of the ways that the device communicates, like all these things she's talking about, make the nervous system is king, make the nervous system feel safe. I mean, we've all heard this in different theories from different people. So the device is a tool that you give the patient. They do it to themselves. They are in control. It's graded because they control the amplitude of, or how much force they want to put through it. It communicates through the touch. It communicates because it does produce a joint mobilization, and it allows the patient to do this to themselves. And so they get comfortable. They feel safe. The joint mob communicates, you know, to the joint in real time. And when they get that and they're combining movement, you know, what is it? Grease the groove. That's what you always say. They're combining movement with all these things. It just seems to throw, you know, fuel on the flame, and it goes really quickly is what we've seen.
I mean, if you guys are therapists out there, you haven't likely at some point in your career, whether it was in school or afterwards or currently, you've worked with someone with a total knee replacement. And you know what that feels like when that person is stuck and you're just like, what in the, we got cement in this? What the hell? How am I going to get this person better? And as someone who's had knee surgery, right? I haven't had a knee replacement, thank goodness, but who's had knee surgery and had range of motion restrictions. And this was what got me into PT. I had knee flexion and extension issues. And I used to go to PT and they would crank on my knee. And I would leave PT. I would sit there at the end with ice on my knee, ice and stim, and just cry because it was so painful. And I swore that I would never ever do that to a patient. Yes, I got my range of motion back, but I think there's probably a better way to do it, right? I swore I would never, ever do that. And I know that drives a lot of how I treat now, and I'm a less aggressive therapist, but when I spoke to them about this, I was just like, yes, this makes sense. And yes, if you've ever had a knee issue, you know how stubborn it can be. And if there's a better way to do this, let's do it. It's like no question about it. Like, you know, I think that one of the issues, and I'm going to have them drop some numbers on you in a second, but one of the issues that you're going to see with certain things is that at the end of the day, if the person still gets range of motion, the person who delivered that range of motion may not care how that person got that range of motion, right? You go to the doctor and you get surgery, and then you go back, whatever, 6 months later, and all they see is that you now have 120 degrees of knee flexion. Awesome. They don't really know that maybe you cried every day. As a patient and as a therapist who sees these patients, you know that there can be a better way to get from A to B. There can be a better way to get us from 0 to 120 degrees. That's kind of, you know, CPM machines have gotten basically phased out, But that's because we don't care enough about the actual person's experience. Like, yeah, we got that number. Great. They have devised here, and it's very simple, a way to help you out and to get from A to B. So you may be out there listening to this. Maybe you're the person that has this knee issue. There's a better way to do it. They found it.
And it's not just for, I guess, stubborn knees. We've implemented this with all of our knee patients fresh out of surgery. So they have their surgery. Some of them have a hospital stay. Some of them are bundled patients, and they come out the door same day procedure. And we use this device with them. It's part of their home exercise program. Think of it as a better home exercise program for your patient. They take it. It's like simulating the hands of a therapist on the patient. They can do this to themselves at home, and it just speeds the process up. Total knee patients have used it. We've used it with meniscal repairs. We've used it following ACL for extension purposes only. We've used it with a gentleman had a quadriceps rupture and repair, and he used it to regain his range of motion because it just wasn't coming along. And he had to get a certain amount of range before they would let him return to work. And so he was very grateful that he was able to get that. So just, you know.
Can you, I'm sitting here like with my mouth open, like this is, I don't know how this hasn't blown up yet, right? But can you just drop a few, we were talking last night, we had a pint night last night. Can you just drop a few numbers, the statistics, saving money, like why the top down should care, why the insurance provider should care about this?
Sure. So according to Medicare, there were 700,000 total knee surgeries in the United States last year. Medicare predicts that by the year, I think 2030, there's going to be upwards of 3.4 million total knee surgeries done every year. So 700,000 total knees at, they estimate around $3,000 to $4,000 is spent for the rehab portion of that population. And if you do the math, $3,000 to $4,000 times 700,000 individuals is a lot of money. So if we can offer a tool that people can use out of surgery that cuts their rehab time to half of what it would normally be, then do the math. If we are saving that population half of what they would spend for this procedure, we are saving individuals, we are saving insurers a whole lot of money, and we're not really diminishing the quality of the service they're getting. We're actually trying to enhance it. So instead of saving money by taking things away, let's save money by offering up innovative solutions to these problems.
Let's dissect this for a second, because from the top down, right? From the top down, if you look at this, you will save, this product could save insurance companies a buttload of money. I can't do math that big, but it's a lot of money, right? There's big numbers there. If we look at this from the bottom up, right? Because one of the barriers, we were talking about this yesterday, one of the barriers that they're having in terms of implementing and getting it to catch on is that insurers care about money, right? And so unless you can prove that to them, like, they're not going to want to do this. From the middle, right, the clinician, why should the clinician care about this? Because let's call a spade, and in some places, if you get people better faster, that may not be a good thing. Well, we're going to pump the brakes on that for a second and say, whoa, hold up, get out of that scarcity mindset, right? One, if that's you as a clinician and you think for a second, oh, this might get people better faster, I don't know if I like this, you need to check yourself. I'm going to call you out right now, and you're probably not even listening to this podcast because you're probably, I don't know, doing some kind of terrible therapy on someone and seeing too many patients at once. But if you are listening to this and you are kind of like, oh no, but this might get people better faster, then what am I going to do? You're going to succeed is what you're going to do, because the numbers she just gave you show you that. There's only going to be more people getting surgery. The number's not going down. So more people are getting surgery. You get people better faster, it means you're going to get more people in the door, honestly. Why? Because when you do a good job, they go and tell someone else. There will always be a market for quality service. Always. So for those of you listening to this out there, I'm trying to kind of break down the economic side of this. From the top down, saves money for the insurer. from the bottom up, that's in the individual, your rehab time gets cut down. So one, it's a more pleasant experience. Two, you're there less time, and time is money, right? No one wants to be at PT all the time. Like, come on. So we have a better experience for the user from the bottom up. And from the middle, the clinician, the provider, you're going to get people in and out faster. You're going to have them having better experiences, which means they're going to tell other people, and that can only benefit you, right? From abundance, we take abundance, and yet still there remains more abundance.
Want to take a course with the maestro? Head on over to www.themovementmaestro.com/workshop to find a course near you. Don't see one in your area? Use the contact me button at the top of the page to hit up the maestro and discuss setting up a course in your area. One more time for the folks in the back, that's www.themovementmaestro.com/workshops. We look forward to seeing you there.
Now, back to Maestro on the mic.
To look at that, you know, globally. What they're doing, I get so excited about this. And every time I come here and we sit and talk, and I'm just like, this is incredible. Like, this needs to take off. And I wanted you guys out there to hear this because for so many reasons. One, the product itself is incredible, right? But two, these ladies, the young ladies, right? And the accents, they're coming from what seems to me like a small town. And doing big things and having big ideas. And it doesn't matter where you're at. Like, I'm going to have them speak on this in a second, because I think when I say things and I show my model, people are like, yeah, like, of course you can do that. You live in New York City. Or, oh, yeah, of course you can do that. You live in L.A. Hey, guess what? We're talking about Cookeville, Tennessee. Have you heard of that place before? Some of you maybe, but others.
Outside of Mayhem.
Right? Outside of Cross of Mayhem. Have you heard of that place? And look at what's happening here. Look what can be done. So maybe you guys want to speak on that kind of success, or, you know, your experience thus far with kind of going with a cash-based model, kind of just doing new things, thinking outside of the box, treating outside the box. How's that going?
Actually, you know, there was a time where I was getting a little burnout and a little frustrated with just the traditional practice model. You know, it's been privatized and turned into almost an assembly line or a production line where you have to meet certain standards, you have to have certain productivity levels, you have to make sure the insurers are happy and they're not denying your payments. You spend so much time documenting to make sure that doesn't happen. And somewhere in the midst of all that, you're supposed to fit in quality patient care and treat the human being that's in front of you. And that model makes it extremely difficult. And I know this because I've now had the pleasure of experiencing both ways of doing things. And jumping into a cash-based practice model was scary because I didn't know anything about it and had never experienced it before. But once I was there, and I had so much more time to spend and focus on that person in front of me. And, you know, what we were doing was between myself and my patient or my client. And yes, I document and I keep a chart and everything, but it's documenting for the purpose of letting my other partners that treat with me know what's going on so that we can, you know, work with that patient and continue their treatment. Not so much from a standpoint of, oh, I've got to make sure that I said this and said that and cross my T's and dot my I's so that the insurer doesn't come back and tell me they're not going to pay me for any of this. And the focus was so much more about the patient, learning all the concepts and principles that we've learned from Shante and the different rock tape courses and all the other people that she had said, hey, you should go read about what this guy's saying, and hey, this guy has some good principles, you should look at what he's saying. And we did all that. We chased those rabbits and we read and we learned, and everyone out there has something to teach you. And you can most of the time make application of what you are hearing from all of these people, regardless of the setting that you're practicing in. But the new model, practicing out of CrossFit Mayhem, is so much more pleasurable, and it has helped me to love being a therapist again and love the profession.
Listen to that accent. Okay, number one, just in and of itself, it's amazing.
Doesn't even sound different to me.
But that accent should tell you she probably lives in an area that's different than where you live. Unless you sound like her, and if so, I want you on the show because I love the accent, right? She lives probably in a different area than you live, and maybe she's had a different experience than you had. But guess what? We've also had a ton of the same shared experiences. No matter, I'm in LA, she's in Cookeville, and we're experiencing the same thing. We're wanting change, right? So I bring people on because I wanted to open you guys' eyes to this and to show you that this drive to do more is everywhere. The ability to do more can happen anywhere. I know that some people inherently think, oh, I'm in this small town, like, what? I can't do it. There will always, always, always be a market for quality service. Mm-hmm. Always. Doesn't matter where you are at, if you're in the biggest city, if you're in the smallest town, you know, if traffic jams happen because of 18-wheelers or because of tractors. It doesn't matter. There will always be a market for quality service. You're just going to scale your model accordingly. One of the things that I want you guys to speak on is, and we were talking about this beforehand, is not assuming things, because these ladies have had a pretty big change in their careers and kind of the trajectory of things, which they've spoken about. And it's kind of that hashtag why not approach. An attendee turned friend from the Hawaii course I recently just did. He said that kind of hashtag why not. His Instagram is Surf and Shore PT, something like that. I'll put it in the show notes. But if you could speak on this concept of not assuming, because they're at Mayhem right now, and if you were to assume, like, oh, I'm sure the athletes there, it's a big name box, I'm sure the athletes there are getting really good care, I'm sure that I couldn't step into a role there. If you assume things like that, you're never going to be presented with the opportunity to perhaps make some huge changes. Can you guys speak on that?
I guess the way we see things, both Nikki and I, is change presents opportunity. Don't be afraid of change. A lot of people are so afraid of change, and that's, I guess, normal human instinct. I'm afraid of change, but don't let the fear stop you from stepping out there into these different roles. When I hear of change coming down the pipeline in the healthcare world, whatever it may be, I try to think, where are the windows of opportunity that are going to exist out there with all of this change coming? Just like we talked about in course, you know, your window of opportunity when you're talking to the nervous system, there's different windows out there to operate in. Same thing, real life, there's always windows of opportunity no matter what situations coming your way. And we were fortunate enough to find a window of opportunity, and Nikki really found it first. Like she said, she worked out at CrossFit Mayhem, and I did too, and she had a relationship with some of these people, and as they spoke with her and they learned what she knew and how much she cared and her approach to working with people, that relationship kind of turned into us being involved more in the box with different athletes and different people there.
Nikki, anything that you want to add to that?
I would just to add a little bit, it might not answer your question, but I think that people, well, I know that people want people to care about them, yeah, and show you that you care. We don't even market the fact that we actually are doing cash-based therapy out of Mayhem, but when you offer quality care, word of mouth is all the marketing you need. And we have actually, you know, had several people come to us for therapy, and they've already been doing therapy in other areas, and they will say things like, you know, for a whole 45 minutes, I was just doing little things that I could do at home by myself. They weren't really watching me. It wasn't one-on-one. you know, I would be frustrated paying for that service. I mean, I would even be frustrated even if my insurance paid 100% and that was still the service I was given. So that's kind of how us treating at the gym did happen. I think that we have a good, honest company that cares about people and cares about them getting better. And when you have that combination of a patient who is paying cash, which actually in turn I've realized gives them more ownership over their own rehab process.
Yes.
It makes them more compliant with anything you tell them to do. It is a much better, as far as I'm saying right now, it's a much better business model.
Hands down, like when I'm listening to them, all I keep saying in my head is, why not me? Why not me? Why not me? And I want you guys out there to have that same mindset of, why not me? Why can't I do this? Why can't I be the one that does this? Like, their story to me is incredible. I know I keep going back to their accents, but to me, I'm like, these things are... I met them in this course in Nashville, however many years, 2 years ago, year and a half ago, and they are now the PTs at one of the biggest name CrossFit boxes in the world, right? That is incredible. One, ask yourself, why not me? Take the leap, take the chance. When the opportunity presents itself, don't be afraid to say yes, right? And step outside of your comfort zone, because you never know. And then, you know, on the back end of that, following up with that, dovetailing, if you will, is that that concept of don't assume. Don't assume that what someone's getting, especially as a victim, you know, athletes, that they're getting great quality of care. Mm-hmm. Don't assume that every clinician out there is so much better than you, or they're doing all this other stuff. Don't assume it, because they're probably not. It's a sad reality. And they've stepped into these roles and seen it. And then we have, once again, that shared experience from not only the clinician side, but from the patient side, where they have patients where they live that want the same thing as patients where we live, or where I live, because they just want quality care. They want to feel better. They want someone to care about them, right? They're going and they want them to feel like they got the value for their dollar, value for their time. So I don't care where it is that you live. If you're dealing with humans, we all have that shared experience, all that shared wants, shared needs, shared desires, and you can meet those needs. Right? It doesn't matter where you're at. Were you going to say something, Nikki? I talk a lot. So.
I don't remember.
It was very important. It'll come back to that.
It'll
comment.
Come back whenever she's talking again.
Exactly right. So, you know, we're hitting the 40-minute mark here, so it's not a bad time to wrap it up. I know people are busy out there. Either of you guys, you have anything you want to, you know, parting words of wisdom, really cool phrases from the South, anything like that that you want to share with us?
Hang in there like a hair in a biscuit. How's that?
That was amazing. I have to make sure that part is nice and loud on the hang in there like a hair in... I love it in the South. You guys was like, give me the best things to say.
I mean, you get it, though.
Like, and there's like, there's no question about it. You're like,
no,
oh my God,
everybody
I actually
gets that.
Really understood that 100%. If these folks out there want to contact you or want to follow you, want to check out the product, you guys want to drop some contact information right now. I'm going to put everything in the show notes like I always do, but saying it is nice.
Contact info on Instagram. You can follow us at MotusX. That's MotusX. We also have a Facebook page. We have a website, thegoknee.com. You can go to that website and get all the information about the device. And yes, it is a very simple device. Yes, it is made out of PVC. We get that question all the time. Is
it
that
is patented?
Is that yeah. is
so
that
you can't
your,
make it.
Yeah. Is that your initial model? Is that just a prototype? No, that's the real device. We did that on purpose. Like I said, you don't use a shotgun when a fly swatter will
exactly.
do. It doesn't need to be made out of this high-tech
aluminum
alloy, metal alloys or anything like that. We did it that way for a reason, because it works and it makes it affordable for everyone. And that was our goal. We want to reach the masses.
God damn, this is so good. Like, so good. So, again, folks, you want to follow them. That is going to be on social media. We're looking at Instagram and Facebook. That's Motus, M-O-T-U-S. X, Check them out online. And as for the website, it's thegoknee.com. You can contact them through that platform right there. They get back to you in a heartbeat.
Thanks for translating that for me.
Just making sure. I'm like, yeah. I don't know. I understood it, but I don't know. I'm hanging on to your every word here. So just to recap, my friends, don't use a shotgun when you can use a fly swatter. Hang in there like a hare in a biscuit. Thank you for joining us. If you liked this episode, please rate it. If you didn't like it, still rate it. Leave me a comment. Let me know what could have been better. Definitely not their accents, though, right? Until next time, Maestro.
Out.
Sonia. Nikki.
She got ahead of herself. We're going to try it one more time. Until next time, Maestro.
Sonia. Nikki.
Out.